well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking with Lee Williams from the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Journalism Project here in just a second. Lee has an incredible story. I would encourage you, first of all, to go to thegunwriter.substack.com. Read this entire story for yourself. It is about the railroading of a member of the U.S. Navy, Patrick Tate Domiak, who is spending 20 years in prison for supposedly obtaining illegal unregistered machine guns and selling them online, even though that is not the case, as you will hear from Lee Williams. This is an outrage. This is an injustice. I am so glad that Lee Williams is bringing this story to light. But this, I got to tell you, if you're like me, well, get ready to be outraged. And if you have high blood pressure, you might want to sit down, take some medicine, because this is going to get your blood boiling. Take a look and a listen. Lee, thanks for coming on the show. It's good to see you, sir.
Good to be here.
And I got to tell you, I mean, you do amazing work, you know, uncovering some of these stories. This one is so outrageous. I didn't even need my morning coffee this morning, because as I'm reading your story, it was all the caffeine I needed. ATF lied to convict sailor now serving 20 years in prison for selling legal gun parts. I mean, Lee, this is to say this is an outrage is an understatement. This is atrocious.
If you want to become even more outraged, do what I did about 20 minutes ago and just Google his name, Patrick Tate Domiak, and look at all of the media that have ran the ATF story, which is completely wrong, nailing this kid as some kind of gun dealer. He's not. He had a website where he sold gun parts and uniforms and military gear. He never sold a single firearm, yet he's doing 20 years for selling machine guns and grenades. And I mean, it's beyond making me angry. I didn't sleep last night. I haven't slept well for a couple nights since I've been working on the story. It's just, it's such a complete and utter, I don't want to say the word, Cam, but it's bad. Let's put it that way. This kid's 28 years old. He was going, he got his degree in the Navy. He was going to be a SEAL officer. He'd already served for, I don't know, 10 years. He was an E6, which is great, you know, and he was so squared away. He had gotten his degree. He'd been accepted into SEAL training. He had already done the first part of it. He was going to be a SEAL officer. All that is gone. And keep in mind, the Navy never did anything to this kid. They allowed him to burn his leave and burn his money while he was sitting in jail for this BS series of charges.
So, you know, as you write, this kind of stemmed from a confidential informant, right? So Domiak is, he's on Gun Broker. He's selling gun parts. He's got replica weapons, right? But not actual machine guns, right. Not actual grenade launchers. And this confidential informant, you say, was cooperating with the ATF to work off charges of his own. So Domiak says, I got him a shroud off a gun broker. The ATF, he says, paid him about $8,000 for his case alone. And as you write, while dropping off gear at Domiak's home, the confidential informant saw this replica grenade launcher and belt-fed machine gun replicas and then asked if he had a Class 3 FFL. Domiak said, no, the replicas. He said, that was the end of the conversation. We finished trading and bartering, and he left. But I guess the CI then goes back to the ATF and says, hey, this guy's got machine guns. This guy's got grenade launchers.
He's got an M240. Let's go get him. And they did. They did. Now, this kid is so smart and so sharp about what you'd want for a SEAL officer. And he never sold a single firearm on his site. So, of course, he's not going to go out and have an M240 laying around or have a grenade launcher laying around. The RPG-7s that he had bought in California, and he had actually shipped them back in the day in his luggage when he flew out to the East Coast with a note on it saying, hey, if you have any questions about these, come and get me. I'll be on the plane. There's a big hole. There were holes drilled into the receiver. First of all, an RPG, go find me a live rocket for an RPG, right? But right. Let's say you could find a live rocket somewhere. It would take your head off to fire it. And besides, it didn't have all the internals to actually fire a rocket. These things were really, really well destroyed. And of course, the ATF never makes mention of that. They took one, they took it to their lab, they took a real RPG, they started exchanging some parts with it. They put in the 7.62x39 subcaliber trainer, and they managed to make it go bang. So it fired a 7.62x39 caliber round. So they were, oh my God, it's live. What the ATF did here, brother, I mean, I had zero respect for ATF prior to this story. I have none now, none whatsoever. These cats should be in prison for what they did to this kid.
You know, one of the things that that you write about is Damiak had paid for this former ATF agent, Dan O'Kelly, to testify as an expert witness on his behalf. But you say his attorneys never even called Dan O'Kelly to testify. I guess what the DOJ tried to bar O'Kelly from testifying, right? Because right. They didn't want to hear, or they didn't want the jury to hear what he had to say. And you talked to O'Kelly about this case, right?
Yeah, he is a hell of a guy. Ran ATF, not as a lead guy, but was a senior officer in ATF for quite a while, and knows all their tricks and techniques. So he would have killed them on the stand, but they never allowed him. I know Tate, he goes by Tate, had some issues with his attorneys. Now he's hooked up with another attorney. They're going to try and go and appeal the case. But yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I'm still, it's like, you know, you wake up hungover because you got so much lack of sleep. This thing has pissed me off more than any story I've ever done. And I've been doing this for more than 20 years, Cam.
Well, I mean, again, you know, listen, there are real individuals out there who are engaging in straw purchases. There are individuals who are engaging in gun trafficking. That's who the ATF should be going after, right?
Exactly.
But this is, I don't want to say it's entrapment, because I'm not sure that that's actually the right word, but this is essentially building a false case and going after somebody when they knew damn well that he wasn't guilty of what they had charged him with. I mean, as you say, they're having to go and rebuild these items to turn them into what they say Adamiak possessed, because what Adamiak possessed were not real weapons. They were replicas. They were inert.
And they couldn't build the 240 replica into anything because it's incapable of chambering around. But they made such a big deal about it. Even the judge said in her closing that he should not have had that machine gun. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Right now, we are focusing on a bunch of people. Obviously, President Trump, Thomas Massey, Elon Musk, other lawmakers out there. This kid needs to be out. He's served enough time. Guy's been in jail for damn near 2 years. And he was sentenced to 20 years, Cam. I mean, this kid is supposed to be in jail for 20 years for nothing. It makes me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. This is one of those things that makes you see red, you know, and the more you learn about this, the more livid you get. I'm glad to hear that Matthew LaRosier is working with Mr. Adamiak. I'm glad to see that you've got the link to the Gibson Go. They've raised up almost $50,000 for his defense right now, and hopefully folks can contribute. It's GibsonGo.com/Black Dog Arsenal if you want to contribute to Adamiak's defense. And I'm glad to hear that the appeal process is going on. But as you say, I mean, even if President Trump, you know, pardoned Mr. Adamiak today, what does he do to get those 2 years back?
Exactly.
And every day that he's spending behind bars is, frankly, it's an injustice. It is just, I'm right there with you, Lee. I can't say what I'd like to say because this is, you know, family friendly, but this is atrocious. This is just absolutely atrocious.
This right now is, for me, the lead story in why we need to get rid of the ATF. And, there's a lot of people saying, I wish you'd just get rid of the ATF. Well, yeah, we should. It would be difficult. They have some duties that, you know, nobody else does. But yeah, after this, after what they did to this kid, how many more Tates are we going to put up with? You know, how many more Tates are we going to put up with? And here's the question. How many more Tates are out there already? How many guys are serving time in prison who didn't have my number, who right. didn't have a friend who reached out? You know, I mean, my God, the ATF, let's get rid of it before you and I go.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Lee. Again, I cannot thank you enough for your coverage of this story, for bringing this to light. I know you're going to continue to report on it. We will have you back anytime you've got an update, because I want folks to know what's going on with this case.
Okay, well, we are not even half done.
Okay, well, you let me know when you want to come back, because I'd love to have you.
Will do. Thank you, Cam.
All right, Lee Williams. And again, you know, the Second Amendment Foundation and what Lee's doing with the Second Amendment Foundation Investigative Journalism Project, you can help support that as well. But Lee, thank you again for everything you're doing. And hopefully we will get justice for Mr. Adamiak.
Well, he's one of many in there. Thank you so much, Cam. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. My thanks again to Lee for coming on the program. We will be having him back again very, very soon. And again, if you want to help Tate Adamiak, the Give, Send, Go, again, is just givesendgo.com/blackdogarsenal. And you can help contribute to Mr. Adamiak's legal defense fund there. All right, let's turn our attention now to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a headline out of Las Vegas. Las Vegas man granted probation twice, accused of walking into random woman's home and shooting her. KLAS in Las Vegas reporting on this story. They say that a man that two Las Vegas judges recently sentenced to probation faces new charges now for allegedly walking into a random woman's home and shooting her. When police asked what happened, he licked the inside of a patrol car and wrote that he shot her, according to a document that KLAS had obtained. 30-year-old Kevin Filliger now faces several charges, including attempted murder, burglary, and kidnapping for the incident that happened on Tuesday of this week. Person called 911 around 9 o'clock that morning, saying her neighbor had been shot. Shooting victim told police that an unknown man and his dog came into her home through an open garage door, immediately shot the woman in the elbow upon entering the garage, and then grabbed her around her throat, pushed her up against the wall. She was able to get away from the man and barricade herself in another room. As officers responded to the 911 call from the neighbor, they spotted Filliger walking nearby. Filliger, by the way, a convicted felon, prohibited from owning or having a firearm. The shooting victim told police at the hospital that Filliger shot her, pointed the gun at her head, then covered her face with a pillow. Told police that she had never met Filliger before. She'd never seen him before. He declined to speak with detectives. In addition to the attempted murder and kidnapping charges, police also arrested Filliger for violating probation in two other cases. So in October of last year, police arrested Filliger on a charge of attempted carrying a concealed firearm or other deadly weapon. Now, keep in mind, he's a convicted felon, right? So the sentencing in that case was delayed because he had picked up a new charge. The new charge was attempted ownership or possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. That was filed on September the 1st of 2024. On September 24th, Clark County District Judge Beta Yeager placed Filliger on probation in the 2023 case. And then the following day, Clark County District Court Judge Michael Villani sentenced Filliger to probation for, again, being a felon in possession of a firearm. Both judges sentenced Filliger with the stipulation that he should go to prison if he violated their orders, which included not possessing any firearms or other weapons. Filliger was detained, denied bail due to his new charges. He refused to appear for his initial probable cause hearing on Wednesday, according to KLAS, and was scheduled to appear in court on February the 3rd. You know, again, I mean, we hear all the time, it's very serious, right? These convicted felons shouldn't be allowed to possess firearms. There should be consequences for their actions. What happens? Slap on the wrist. Now, we don't know the underlying charge that prohibited Mr. Filliger from possessing a firearm legally, but given the violent charges that he is now facing, it would not surprise me if he had been convicted of a violent felony there in the past. Today's Armed Citizen story from Stockton, California, where a man released from police custody after a fatal shooting was deemed to be self-defense. Happened about 9 o'clock Monday night in the 100 block of West Poplar Street in Stockton, California. Don't have a lot of details about this. Officers who responded to the scene found a 50-year-old man suffering from a gunshot wound. He was taken to a local hospital where he later passed away from his injuries. Police found a firearm at the scene. They detained a 32-year-old man, but he was released from custody after further investigation. Authorities say the shooting is considered self-defense. Again, don't know the circumstances. I don't know the relationship between the guy who was shot and the armed citizen who was acting in self-defense, but we do know that, again, police in Stockton, California say that no charges will be filed. No charges are necessary. And finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A father-son team in Indiana helped to rescue a stranger who had broken through the ice on a frozen pond. WISH-TV in Indianapolis reporting on the story. David Fisher and his son Felix getting the Life-Saving Citizen Award from the Westfield City Council and the Westfield, Indiana Mayor Scott Willis. They rescued a 19-year-old man and a dog from this icy pond. It happened on December 14th of last year when Felix Fisher heard somebody crying for help. He alerted his dad. The two were able to use ropes to pull both the man and the dog to safety. WISH says once out of the water, the Fishers brought the man and his dog into their home to warm up while they waited for first responders to arrive. The mayor of Westfield, Indiana says, "I've always known that Westfield is filled with brave, kind-hearted people. But what David and Felix did is absolutely remarkable. Their courageous actions are the definition of what it looks like to care for your neighbor. We are proud to honor them with this well-deserved award." So again, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. David and Felix Fisher, we thank you for your very, very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. Hope you have a great weekend. Be sure to check out BearingArms.com. Between now and Monday, we're going to keep you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation, even the U.S. territories like the Virgin Islands, where the governor there says the restrictive gun control regime has been a total failure, and he wants to make it easier for folks to exercise their right to keep and bear arms. We've got that story for you at Bearing Arms and a whole lot more. On Monday, we'll be talking with Paul Vallone from Grassroots NC about the push for constitutional carry in North Carolina, so be sure to tune in for that. And until then, again, hope you have a great weekend. I am, knock on wood, heading up to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for the Great American Outdoor Show. That's the plan anyway. There might be a something that gums that up, but I am hoping to be up in Harrisburg this weekend, and I'll have a report for you on Monday. But until then, again, be well, be safe, and be free.